We've got Gene Bolduc here in the studio, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time. I don't know if we should play that song right before talking about Stormy Daniels or if there should be like a buffer in between the two.
I don't know. Maybe there should be some, you know, it should be a sound of wind like the Wizard of Oz or something stormy. Something stormy.
Yeah.
Or that song. You know, there was that pop song, Stormy.
Stormy. There's a lot of
stormy
songs.
There's stormy weather.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
For Thing Not a Thing, the game show in which we take a look at all of the things that have people upset and talking on social media this week, and we decide whether or not they are actually things or if they are not really things.
Yeah. So much to talk about. And, you know, we would be saying that if we were only talking about, like, yesterday.
Yeah.
You know.
So here's the question. The things that everyone seems to be talking about this week are very, very tabloidy, right? You've got the Stormy Daniels situation, which I honestly haven't been following too much, but what is it? Porn star says that she had an affair with Donald Trump, and now there's a whole...
Oh, but it's actually better than that.
Yeah.
It's actually better than that.
So there's which we'll get to. There's Sam Nunberg, who is apparently a nut who worked
for Donald Trump.
For the Trump administration and makes the media rounds, and he goes completely nutso in a whole bunch of media interviews and then completely backtracks, and now he's testifying
today
for the
grand
jury,
with
Mueller's. You've got Trump and Kim Jong-un who might be meeting or might not be meeting or are talking about talking, which may constitute talking.
There's some interesting elements to all of that happened last
completely
night. And that's all just last night.
Wild people who specialize in going in front of cameras and saying whatever comes to their mind. So it's all very tabloidy stuff this week. And my question before we begin talking about any of those is, why is everything that we're focusing on so tabloidy?
Because
that's just the way it is in politics? Is it because the people who are in charge are themselves tabloid reality TV stars and that's the way they conduct business? Or is it something to do with the fact that the national media goes for ratings, so they go for whatever will get the most clicks, and that's why we end up spending the week focusing on Stormy Daniels and allowing Sam Nunberg to make the rounds on every single cable media outlet there is.
The Sam Nunberg thing, I that's picking up a piano. I just don't have enough time to go into all that. That was, it's interesting. That, to me, that and Stormy Daniels are kind of the same problem, which is,
that's a very poor visual.
Nunberg, I'll put my hands over this way. I'll just wave them, yeah. Nunberg, to me, was news porn. This was, how can you resist?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be honest, I'm not sure that if he walked in here that you wouldn't have done 10 minutes talking to him. And here's why. Because here's a guy who is a flake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but right now, he is getting the attention of Mueller. He was in a position to know some things, and in a state of distress that he was in, which is the only word I can think of to use.
Mm-hmm.
As he did all these interviews, this guy talks much faster than his computing power allows him to think.
Yeah.
So the filter is off. If that's because he has a drinking problem or a substance problem or whatever, I'm not really in that, and I can't figure that out.
Mm.
What I can figure out, though, is that the question of journalism ethics that's kind of been brought up, you know, that's too much consideration for a guy like this. If he wants to have a meltdown on my show and spill out some of the details of an investigation of the president with the impact that this is all going to have, I'm going to go ahead and let him do that.
I wouldn't.
Because I think it's going to advance the story.
I think that there is a responsibility, and I don't even know if I would call it an ethical responsibility, but there is a responsibility as a, or not even a journalist, but as someone who has a microphone, who has access to a microphone and airtime and a camera.
Right.
And you can point that microphone at whomever you want. You can point that camera at whomever you want and give that person a spotlight, an amplified voice. There are 320 million people in this country, 7 billion people in the world. You can only amplify so many voices. I think you do have a responsibility to amplify the ones that are actually going to advance the conversation about real issues in a positive and productive way.
So I think here's what we're really saying. I think that what you saw in real time is what reporters see all the time, which is off the record, here's what really happened, here's why I hate my boss, you know, here's who really stole the ice cream, cleaned out the cash drawer, whatever, follow the money kind of advice.
Mm-hmm.
Reporters get this kind of stuff all the time.
Off the record.
Off the record.
Right.
And if the media, especially on television, dropped the ball with this, it's that they didn't insist that they talk to him first and kind of proffer what it is that he wanted to say and what it is he has to back up whatever it is that he wanted to say, because, you know, you're not doing a live feed of a court appearance. You're having a guy come on your program. And when these programs, these news programs, when they have people come on, they know what they're coming on to talk about. They don't just spontaneously combust that they're going to spit out 12 court cases that are on point.
Right.
They do some research and they're prepared.
Right.
And it looks like almost none of them did that because of the breaking quality of what they thought they were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the nature of what they got is stuff that reporters get all the time. And then people back up and say, well, you know, they come in at first and they're very upset that, or they have an axe to grind and they say, I'm not going to help you get my uncle for this, my cousin, my boss, my whatever. I'm not going to be part of this witch hunt and whatever. And then they talk to a lawyer who says, yeah, you know what? You don't want to go to jail because you don't want to spend 2 hours going through your email.
Right.
So, you know, that's what should have happened. I mean, I think that's part of the filtering process in the production of news, that just because of their interest in the breaking quality of it, they just suspended their judgment about that, their editorial judgment.
And I think that's problematic, right?
I think it is. I think that there will be conversations in newsrooms about that. He just provided a little journalism workshop.
I hope that there will be conversations about that in newsrooms. I also suspect that there will also be conversations in boardrooms involving very upward trending line graphs of how many page views we got or where our ratings were at such and such a time. And when
go to a history book and see that. They can go see what happened during the Lewinsky scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And they can see how every network said, oh, we hate the story and we don't want to report on this. But
so
at 9 o'clock, we're going to be talking about, you know, look at this video for the 3 millionth time of her on the rope line.
Yeah.
So they know what the effect of this stuff is, and they know that it brings viewers and clicks and all that stuff.
Which also turns it back around on us as consumers of the media, too. And I've said this numerous times, and I'll say it 1,000 times more, that the national news media, to the extent that they do go for ratings first and foremost, they know exactly what people are going to click on, and exactly what people are going to tune into. We can trace that minute by minute and second by second. So if we're sitting there watching TV and we're upset with the way that CNN or Fox or whoever are covering the national media, we did that. Because they're responding to what we're tuning into and what we're not tuning
into. While
it starts with us as consumers.
And while they may shrug about these effects, Mark Zuckerberg has played a very significant, Facebook has played a very significant role in this, because you get a lot of detailed information about who looks at what and for how long on Facebook.
Yeah.
And consumer behaviors that are associated with who's tracking this and so forth. And you can reverse engineer what you have back to what people who are looking at that story, what do they buy? And then do you go and pursue that product as a sponsor for your program, if that's, mm-hmm. you know, so these are some kind of, you know, at creepy relationships,
yeah,
almost.
Yeah.
And all you have to know is that if you look over here at Amazon at a book that you were interested in,
mm-hmm.
and then the next time you're on Facebook over there, which you feel like it's over there somewhere, it pops up that there's an ad for that product or a product that's related.
Yeah.
And you go, how did they know on
yep.
Facebook that I looked at this on this platform over here?
We talk about gerrymandering as being particularly
yeah,
bad this decade
exactly.
because the technology has improved to the point where you can
right.
tailor districts to the particular neighborhood
right.
or the street. You can do exactly the same thing now because the technology has improved with ad placement and marketing
right.
and things like that.
Right.
So I think skipping over Sam Nunberg and Stormy Daniels and all of the other tabloidy stuff that's happened this week that people are upset about, I think the thing that really is a thing that we are kind of seeing in the last couple of weeks, we're seeing it. We've seen it after the Parkland shooting. We're seeing it with respect to like advertisers fleeing Alex Jones on YouTube and other assorted crazy nuts.
That's good to hear.
It's good to hear, right? I think the thing there is that there actually are significant business leaders who are taking a sort of social ethical responsibility and saying, you know what, I don't care if sponsoring this thing or selling this product is going to make me more money. There are actually things more important than the bottom line, and I'm going to move in that direction, even if it means I make a little bit less money. Most business leaders don't do that, but I think
right.
it's significant that there are
some
a sizable number who do.
And I'm going to say to that, yes, and.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and. There are also business leaders who are simply savvy enough to see that a page has turned.
True.
Especially on gun sales.
Mm-hmm.
And that they want to be in the early pages of the news story that says, okay, well, you know, making money is great and everything, and mm-hmm. then a return for our investors is important. But, you know, as a company, we also have to listen to what our employees are saying
mm-hmm.
about their being insulted by their friends and their family about you work for that evil store that sells this product. And that these things have consequences for your work culture
mm-hmm.
as well.
Which means
and
it also comes back on us as consumers to be
that's right.
not just picking up the phone and calling our senators and our congressmen and our General Assembly representatives, but also the places we shop.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, just saying to them politely, respectfully, you know, listen, I saw that you had this display here,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really not comfortable with that. And I'm not going to name the grocery chain, but years ago, I went in there, and there was a big Welcome Back Students sign over the beer section. And I said, you know, I'm just going to tell you, I don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't like this one bit, and I'm loyal to this store. The people who are buying beer are supposed to be over 21, and if this is a big wink-wink, I don't like it.
Yep. Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Well, you know, Aaron, you are.
What?
And the program that you and I recorded where we talked, we're going to give a nice rundown about all of our very, very important local, state, and federal elections coming up.
Sounds
and
good.
It's a great rundown and primer for everyone, and I hope everyone is waking up after a big Carolina win and maybe the ACC championship and listens to the water cooler
Sounds good.
On Sunday at 1 and 8 p.m.
Sounds good. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Thanks.